Dear Sugar is supported by
The universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Sugar is here, the both of us, speaking straight into your ears. I'm Cheryl Strayed.
I'm Steve Almond. This is Dear Sugar Radio.
Oh, dear soul, won't you please share some bittersweet days with me? Check my mailbox every day for any sugar you send my way.
Dear Sugars, I am 68 years old, old enough to have garnered the wisdom that comes with the years and young enough at heart anyway to still fall in love. My partner and I were together 8 years and finally called it quits. We were compatible, mutually attracted to each other, both divorced from long-term marriages, both with adult children, and both looking for someone to spend the rest of our lives with. Everything lined up except for one thing, his drinking. I worked it from every angle and finally decided I couldn't do it anymore. The split was mutual, but I think we both let go of something that in our hearts we wanted to hold on to. Now I'm wondering what happened. When I let myself go deep into the pain of it all, I am back in my childhood trying to get my dad's approval, attention, love, and on and on. My dad also drank, by the way, but perhaps you already guessed that. So here's my question. Are we ever able to fully let go of that wounded child? Even when we have the wisdom to understand what is happening, is it still the wounded child that directs those primal emotions that take us in and out of love? Even when we have lived a long, full, satisfying life and have so many experiences to draw on, does it all still boil down to those tender years we lived with our parents, warmly, wounded child within? I have to say, Cheryl, I think this letter is so profound and beautiful.
So do I. When I read this letter, what I thought is, it's kind of the thing we're always trying to answer, not just on the show in a big sense, but in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, when does the healing end? And that to me is what this letter boils down to. Is there ever a place of total enlightenment that you have reached the age or the era or the moment into your life where you're not haunted by the things that have harmed you, that you're not loving and seeking out of a place of weakness and vulnerability and need?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful way of looking at it. And this really put me in mind of this poem that's always haunted me, In Memory of Sigmund Freud by W.H. Auden.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else Freud might be, he was the first person, cultural figure, who really directed us to pay attention to what's happening in the early parts of our lives, mm-hmm. as in some way central to who we become and the conflicts and troubles that we encounter and re-encounter through our lives. So I'll just read a little portion of this. In a world he changed simply by looking back with no false regrets, all he did was to remember like the old and be honest like children. He wasn't clever at all. He merely told the unhappy present to recite the past like a poetry lesson, till sooner or later it faltered at the line where long ago the accusations had begun, and suddenly knew by whom it had been judged, how rich life had been and how silly, and was life forgiven and more humble, able to approach the future as a friend without a wardrobe of excuses. And I love that passage because it's saying something that I think a lot of people try to fight against, and they always get themselves in trouble when they fight against that, which is so much of who we are. It happens when we're very young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this letter writer is quite wise. She knows that it's no coincidence that at the end of a long, satisfying life, she took up with a lover whose problem was drinking.
Right. I love that line where she says, "My dad also drank, by the way, but perhaps you already guessed that." Now, that half of that sentence really speaks to how self-aware wounded child within is. You know, as we've said many times before, I think that coming to consciousness, that realizing, you know, recognizing a pattern, having the desire to change it is always the first step. And I think wounded child within is well beyond that step.
Yeah.
her essential question is, are we ever able to fully let go of that wounded child? And I think that she says fully let go is because she has let go a lot already. She has healed quite significantly. She knows that as this most recent relationship of 8 years came to an end, that she's got some more stuff to work out. Right. And I think that that's the beauty of, you know, tumultuous times in our lives, times where you somebody dies, or there's you come to an end of a relationship, a breakup, or somebody's born, or you move across the country, or you retire, or you lose a job, or you get a job. Any of those things, they're literally like, you know, stirring the waters of our lives,
right?
And our psyches, you know, wounded child within has this opportunity at this moment to look again, to say, what am I dragging along that doesn't serve me anymore? And I do think sometimes those wounds we receive as children. You know, the reason you go date the alcoholic dad, you know, in your adult life is because you still have something to learn. That person needed to be your teacher so that you could see something true about the life you had as a child. And maybe this latest partner is doing that for her. Now, I don't know it in any specific way, like what she has to solve. But I know that this is a moment she's writing to us from a place where she's seeking that enlightenment.
That's right. And she says, most crucially, when I let myself go really deep into the pain of it all, which I think is crucial, because part of what Auden's writing about, part of what Freud was getting at, and part of what she's admitting to is you have to go back into the pain of it all. Mm-hmm. And what you discover there, when I really think about the relationships, a lot of the disastrous things that have happened, the painful patterns, self-destructive stuff I've done, I know that it has to do with the early parts of my life. Mm-hmm. My relationship with my brothers, especially my twin brother, explains almost every relationship I've had with a male friend in my life, in one way or another. I've gotten better at managing those friendships and not allowing them to become reiterations of the sort of painful abandonment that I experienced or that I constructed. But, you know, that still happened, and I'm still going to be contending with that. I think that's just, you know, the stuff that we carry around. So one person who I really want to bring into this conversation, speaking of Freud, is...
And speaking of fathers,
that's right, is my pop, Richard Almond, who is a Freudian psychoanalyst, among many other things, and a great dad, and somebody who I'm very curious to ask this question, or what he thinks of this letter writer, because he's made his life really thinking about and enacting therapeutic processes where he's asking his patients, I think, in some ways to go back into the past and see what's there. So let's get him on the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Pop.
Hi, Dr. Rick. How are you?
Hi, Cheryl.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Nice to talk with you.
Did you get a chance to read The Wounded Child Within, the letter?
Yes, I did. Very interesting letter.
I wanted to talk with you especially because this is, I think, the big question, or I imagine anyway, that this is kind of one of the big questions that your life's work has been about.
You're right.
And you do a pretty intensive therapy with people who, I am going to imagine, do a lot of investigating of their own past.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things I was struck by and wanted to comment on around this letter. You know, it's signed Wounded Child Within, and that suggests that there's, you know, a little homunculus, a little sort of miniature person that's the child you were, sitting up in your brain, unchanged over the years and causing all sorts of mischief or relationship mistakes or whatever.
Right.
How we now look at this, and actually have looked at it for a long time, is that, yes, the past is incredibly important, but simply figuring out what happened in the past is largely an intellectual exercise.
Yeah.
And that what we do in therapy, and actually what we could talk about in relation to this woman's letter, is talk about what's happening in someone's present life.
Yes.
Because, you know, she talks about having had a rich, complex life with many experiences and, you know, feeling fairly successful about her life. Well, all those experiences, good and bad, that one has over a lifetime, modify what happens in childhood, which does stay with us. And we now understand why that is better, due to the work of something called attachment theory, that our early figures, parents largely, not only, are incredibly important in the brain. That is, attachment is crucial to human life and development. And as a result, the form of those attachments, a lot of which consists of feeling states and powerful physical, you know, body experiences, those are recorded in the brain in a permanent way, although one that keeps getting modified over life. And so the question that we deal with in therapy, or that people can think about in themselves, is how are they carrying early experience? You know, and it appears in the form, again, that this woman describes. She gets involved with someone who has a crucial feature in common with her father, and then she has an experience which she relates very much to her experience with her father, and that is one of disappointment.
That's so fascinating. And one question I have for you, Dr. Rick, is I'm very familiar with that idea that we repeat some of those old negative patterns. How is it that we turn it around? So let's say you have a traumatic or negative experience early in life. Are there cases where it informs you and you do the opposite, that you don't replicate that pattern? And when that happens, what's at work there?
Well, there's several ways to come at that. It's a great question. One thing that researchers are now talking about a lot is resilience. And it does seem like some people are born with more capacity to withstand both traumatic things that happen in childhood and to also come back from them, whether hard things happen early or even later in life. So there is, in a sense, something you have built in and may have more or less of. But we're not doomed to repeat these things. But when we are, in one form or another, and I think, you know, this was shown so beautifully, Cheryl, in particularly in the movie form of your story, where, you know, your trek flashed back and forth with your childhood and with your adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And it demonstrated, you know, both how you were caught in a way, in repeating, I think, some of the things your father did and also some of the things your father, you know, did to the family. And then you reached a point where, you know, related to your loss of your mother and all of that, that you kind of hit bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what the movie showed so clearly, and really I think why your story is so compelling for so many people, was that you reached a point where, in a sense, you'd shown yourself the pointlessness of continuing to operate in a certain way that was self-destructive and destructive to other people. And once you had kind of shown yourself that, both through how, you know, messed up things got, and then through the kind of arduousness of your hike, then you were able to kind of process that and turn a corner and say that there could be other possibilities.
Yeah, I thank you for saying all of that. It's really moving to me that you understood that story so deeply, because it's absolutely true. And the way I've made sense of it in my own life is, I do think that I was and am profoundly marked by those primal beings, both my mother and my father. And I think that in some ways, when I was ruining my life, I was in some strange way trying to live out the person who my father was going to make me be.
Mm-hmm.
And me saving myself was very connected to the way my mother loved me. When I did reach the bottom, the truth that I knew most clearly in my heart and my mind was that I had been loved too well to ruin my life.
Mm.
I had been loved too well. I just couldn't ruin my life. And so I didn't. And I did what anyone who's ever had to rebuild their life has to do, is that you just sort of have to very slowly, one step at a time, find a way to kind of walk back in the direction that is going to be good for you, that isn't about your sorrow and your suffering, but is about your strength and your light. And it's about healing your wounds instead of circling around them never-endingly.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And your comment about your mother, I think is true widely in the sense that usually there is someone who has loved us, even when our parents, you know, have been disappointing in many ways, or there have been times we may not even remember them, but when we were loved in a way that we needed. And that's, I think, as you say, what we call on in order to find a balance against the very powerful tendency to get pulled into the more maladaptive or, you know, destructive patterns that we've been exposed to.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to have to send you $100 after this conversation, Dr. Rick. It's like a therapy session. You know, so I think all of this is wisdom that Wounded Child Within can take into her heart. One thing that Steve and I talked about before you came on the phone is really that this is a woman who has done well in her life, who has taken those wounds and, you know, not that let them rule her life. And I think that this is coming up again because it is a time of sorrow and drama. She's just ended this long relationship and it hurts. And I do find that in times of crisis, it is a time that we look within again and that we're put back into touch with the other sorrows.
Yeah, it sounds as if she's really almost shocked to have, you know, found this love and had it be so intense and positive in some ways, and then, you know, finding that this guy's fatal flaw is drinking, sort of in some way, and that ultimately the relationship had to end, just took her straight back into her childhood. But I'm not sure if that's, I mean, that doesn't mean that she's doomed to this cycle of repetition.
Because transformation is possible.
That's right.
It's not easy, but it's possible.
Right.
And I think Wounded Child Within, you've done that. You've done it beautifully. And the deal is, you have to keep doing it. You do. You just have to keep doing it. That is what a full evolved life is.
In a sense, what she's doing is exactly what you were talking about, Daddy's. You know, when I let myself go really deep into the pain of it all, I'm back in my childhood, trying to get my dad's approval, attention, so forth. Like, that is actually a lot of the emotional work, I guess, sort of the cathartic work that you aim to get patients to do in some sense, right? Not just have a cognition, not just understand what is happening, but re-experience it in some way emotionally.
Right. Yeah. In therapy, I think it's a kind of oscillation or, you know, shifting back and forth between understanding something and getting immersed in it. And it's that going in and out of the experience that is a big part of the change.
Thank you so much for talking to us. This was really interesting. Will you come back on to the show again?
Oh, sure. It's always fun to talk with you both.
Thanks a lot, Pop.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was kind of awesome that you got like a movie review from my dad.
I know. You know, one thing that you're going to think I'm joking, but I'm going to be dead serious. It's amazing to me that you have these parents, you know. I don't have parents. It's kind of, jealous isn't the word, but it's, I feel it. I feel their presence in your life and I cannot imagine it. I think one of the things you get when when your parents live well into your adulthood is the opportunity to see them for all of their humanity, to forgive them for their failures, and to, essentially come to know all of the things that you've come to know in your 48 years and bring those things to bear on the relationship you have with your parents.
Yeah, are we ever able to fully let go of the wounded child? Well, I don't know, really. That wounded child is still some part of who we are. It's making peace with that wounded mm-hmm. child, not allowing, as you say, that wounded child or the wounded parts of us to reiterate those bad decisions and bad patterns that we haven't quite worked out. That's what I think is so important about what Freud was up to. He was saying it's in our past. You know, we have to recite it like a poetry lesson until we can find that place where the accusations began, because ignoring it or disavowing it is not really letting go of it, and it's going to come back.
That's right.
I think about that when I think, who was Cheryl Strayed at 5 years old, mm-hmm. right, or 7 years old? You were you. Mm-hmm. You were still you, and whatever was happening around you absolutely was shaping the person who's sitting there right now. Mm-hmm. That's not your fate, but that is the raw material of who you are.
I was thinking about, what do I do in times where I see that I've made a choice that was in some ways connected to that primal wound, those primal wounds? In my case, you know, I have a big father wound. I didn't have a good father. I didn't have, you know, somebody who was wanting good things for me or loving me in the ways you want to be loved. And I have had, you know, periodic times of my life where I had to revisit that. And one thing that I used to always think throughout my 20s, whenever I would be dragged back into that wound, mm-hmm. is I would think, I'm done. I did it. I finally said goodbye. I finally healed it.
Right.
And to me, the image that works best for me is not that that wound is entirely healed, but it has gotten a little bit smaller. It certainly has gotten smaller over time. And each time I do that and I think I'm done and that wound is smaller, and I've come to realize that it's never probably going to close all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
But our job here is to learn how to make it smaller, mm-hmm. to make it rule less of our life.
That's right.
To make it dictate fewer of the choices we make.
That's right.
To allow it to interfere only in positive ways in our lives. You know, and it can. I mean, one of the things that was a driving force for me, you know, actually I think a positive outcome of having a father who didn't love me well, is I sought love from men. I love men, and I have been loved beautifully by men. And I went forward ferociously in my life seeking that because I needed it. I was denied that as a daughter, and I got it as a lover.
And it's also true that somebody else could be in that circumstance, a sibling or whatever, and might have a completely
opposite, yeah, yes.
completely opposite reaction to that. Does it all still boil down to those tender years when we lived with our parents? And maybe a lot of it does, but the truth is that this woman, even if her father was disappointing in certain ways, clearly received enough love during that time to really have a very successful and thoughtful and meaningful life.
Yes, and so many people have transformed their lives in discreet and dramatic ways. And Wounded Child Within, you are one of them. And I think that remembering that each day can be a driving force to you in continuing with that. You know, it's never over. It's always one foot in front of the other.
That's right.
Singer in Sunday choir. Oh, my mama loves me. She loves me. She get down on her knees and hug me. Oh, she loves me like a rock.
Dear Sugar Radio is produced by WBUR in Boston.
We are produced and edited by Lisa Tobin.
Engineering and production help by Jim Brumberg. And you can write to us at DearSugarRadio@gmail.com.
And also remember to listen and subscribe on iTunes. We are grateful for all your support, all your letters, all your ears.